Well, that's quite a high note to end on, or to begin on. Well, today we look at the last part of John's Gospel. We're reading from chapter 21, verse 15 to 25 is the section set for us today. The last two verses appear to be by another writer who is testifying to the fact that what John wrote was true, and telling us that if all the things that Jesus did were written in books, the world itself would not be able to contain them. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? And of course there really are many libraries full of books concerning our Lord Jesus and all that he has accomplished for us. Well, the story goes that it was after breakfast. Now, we're just before lunch, apparently. But it was a special occasion because Jesus had served the breakfast. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John," or Simon Johnson, "do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus asked him the second time, "Simon, do you love me?" "Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus asked him the third time, "Simon, do you love me?" And it says that Simon Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" Peter answers, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Now you'll notice in response to each of those replies, Jesus commissions Peter to do something. To feed his lambs, to feed his sheep, and to shepherd his sheep. Well, then the Lord says something interesting to Peter. He says, "When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." Jesus evidently was talking about the way Simon Peter would die. Then you have Peter's question, of course, about his friend John. Peter, seeing that disciple whom Jesus loved following, the one who had leaned on Jesus' breast and had asked, "Who is it who will betray you?" Peter asked, "What will this man do?" Jesus said, "What is that to you? Even if I allow him to continue until I come, your job is to follow me." Well, that's the sort of words we're thinking about today. And I'm calling it the burning question. The burning question. Do you love me? That's the challenge of the Lord to each one of us today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we realize that so often we're so concerned about our own things and our own problems and our own wants that we forget our primary obligation is to really love you. That's the beginning of everything. Everything else comes from that. If we truly love you as we ought, then we will serve you. We will be a blessing. So we pray that your word will search our hearts today and help us, speaker and hearer alike, to love you more, to serve you more faithfully, to follow you more closely and to be more effective in your service. So we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive the Word of God. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, now I wonder if we can imagine that we are beside the sea. It's a long way, of course, in thought. But we're going to the Sea of Galilee, and it's early in the morning. And as we saw last week, Jesus is standing on the shore. But now, at this stage in the story, the disciples are there with him, and he has given them their breakfast. It was a little different, I expect, from the breakfast you had today, unless you eat kippers for breakfast, like Englishmen. But they'd had fish and bread for breakfast, and I can imagine they had really eaten well. They were strong men, they'd been fishermen, and they had good appetites. I was at a breakfast for men yesterday, and I was surprised at the amount of food they ate. Remember, there were 153 fish available. Now, they weren't particularly like British Columbia salmon. They were probably like a mackerel or a herring. They call them Peter's fish if you go to Israel today. They're not very big, but there were 153 of them. So they could have had a good feed of fish. It was early in the morning. Sea breeze was blowing. It was a very special occasion. It was the third time that Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples upon his resurrection. Now there were all of them present, all seven of them at least, who are named in the text. But there was one in particular that is the center of this story, and of course his name was Simon Peter. There were a couple of things that must have been quite special reminders to Peter as he stood there with Jesus that day. First of all, of course, as we saw last week, there was the coal fire, as it's called, the fire of coals. And that must have reminded Peter of something. You remember he stood on that occasion when Jesus was being judged, and he was among the enemies standing beside the coal fire. And three times over, you remember, he had denied knowing Jesus. Strange story, really. And now here he is, standing with Jesus beside a coal fire. It must have all sort of come back into his mind. But there was something else. There was a heap of fish. Did that remind Peter and the rest of them of the occasion when they had left all to follow Jesus? If you read the story in Luke chapter 5, you'll see that there was a tremendous catch of fish on that occasion. But it says they forsook all and followed him. What had happened? Here they are. They'd been out fishing all night. They'd caught nothing until Jesus came into the picture. And you remember their net was full of fish. That's the difference, of course, that Jesus makes, isn't it? He changes our failure into his fullness, into his blessing. So those two things must have been in Peter's mind. The day when he had forsaken fishing to follow Jesus. The day when he had denied the Savior in the presence of his enemies. So it was a rather special occasion for Peter. There are three things I'd like to underline in the story. The story of Peter's reinstatement to discipleship, if you will. We saw last week that Jesus knows that sometimes we let him down, but he never lets us down. Sometimes we fail him, but there's always another chance, a second chance. And I'm sure that through Peter's mind he must have been wondering, whatever will the Lord say to me today? So we have, first of all, the challenge. Simon, son of John, do you really love me? Three times over, you remember. Do you really love me? What a challenge. Now, Jesus didn't say, Peter, you let me down, you failed me, you denied me. You turned your back on me when I needed you most. Now what have you got to say for yourself? I guess that's the way some of us would have reacted, but that's not the way Jesus reacted. He simply said, Simon, do you love me? A real challenge to Peter. And of course, it really went right into Peter's heart like a dagger. Oh, Lord, yes, I admit I've failed, but I really do love you. Now, if you look at the text, there are a couple of different words used here. Jesus used one word and Peter used another word in reply. There's probably not a lot of significance in the difference because both those words are used in connection with the way we love God. It's probably because John liked to use different words to talk about the same subject. Some people make quite an emphasis on the fact that the word Jesus used means a deep love, and the love, shall we say, between a mother and her child. And Peter's word is a love that really has to do with the love between friends, slightly different, but probably not meaning too much. But the Lord was really probing into Peter's heart. Do you really love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. That's something for us to think about, isn't it? The Lord, who knows everything, knows all about us. He knows the way we think, the way we react, the way we act. He knows all about us. And he knows whether we really love him. Because everything else grows out of that. Maybe, in fact, we don't know the Lord at all. Maybe you've never come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, that's where everything begins. That's the first step in this important journey, isn't it? Knowing him. And then once you know him, loving him. Now, we tend to think of love as a sort of emotion, maybe. And perhaps we feel a little uncomfortable when we talk about loving the Lord. But there's so much more in it than just emotion, isn't it? There's the commitment of our life to him. There's the response of our heart to the heart of the Lord Jesus. He loved us, and in response, he wants us to love him. And if we really do love the Lord, then there comes a call. That's the second point, the call of Jesus. Peter, if you really love me, then I've got a job for you to do. And that job is to look after the lambs and the sheep, and to care for those who belong to me. Now, I don't think if we read the text carefully, it's simply saying that Peter and those who are leaders are the only ones called to care for the sheep and the lambs. I think that's the responsibility of all of us who are believers. We are to be concerned about others. We are to care for the Lord's people, those who are new to the faith and those who have grown in the faith. We need the fellowship of each other, don't we? And we need to be concerned and praying for each other. Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of them. Oh, I know, you're a fisherman, but now you've got another job. Remember when I called you, I said you will be a fisher of men. Well, now, moving on from fishing for men, you're going to be feeding them for me. You're going to be caring for my people. That's an important task for all of us, to be caring for the Lord's people. So easy, isn't it, just to say, hello, how are you this morning? Goodbye, see you next Sunday. That's really not what it's all about. We're a part of the family of God. We're a part of the local church, the local fellowship. We need to be caring for each other. In a sense, I suppose, we're all called to be shepherds. This was the challenge then to Peter. There is a job for us to do. No matter how small or insignificant it may be, God has gifted you to do a task and a job for him. So first comes the challenge, do you love me? But then comes the call to serve, to respond, to show that we really do love the Lord. It's easy to talk. It's much more difficult, but much more important to express our love in action, isn't it? To be sympathetic, to be kind, to be forgiving, to be receiving, to accept people. You know, sometimes we can become so sort of elitist, so sort of separatistic in our outlook that we only deal with people we like and who are like us. But there are many folk who really need our help and our care. Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, take care of those who are mine. That must have been very encouraging for Peter, don't you think? To realize that the Lord hadn't abandoned him, but had now reinstated him, if you will, given him a job to do. The past was forgotten. The Lord had forgiven him. It's good for us to remember that, because so often we feel inadequate and we feel unworthy. But the Lord takes us where we are, despite our failure, and he says, I've got a job for you to do. And in the doing of that job, we'll find fulfillment, we'll find blessing. There's a sort of reciprocating. As we give, we receive. Indeed, the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it must have been a great encouragement for Peter, I think, to realize that I'm not abandoned. He's not kicked me out, so to speak, but he's given me a job to do for him. So he was called to God's service. But then, as the story moves on, I remember an old Scotsman said to me one day, John, if you want to sum up John chapter 21, there are three things. Number one, follow me. Number two, feed my sheep. Number three, mind your own business. And that's quite a summation of the chapter, because when the Lord told Peter about his future, you remember he was interested in what John, the other disciple, was doing. They'd been friends, of course, all through their lives since they were young. You remember James and John and Peter, they'd been the fishermen by the sea when Jesus had called them. And I suppose he was interested to know. So the last point I want to talk about is the cost of discipleship. The challenge is, do you love me? The call is, feed my sheep. But the cost is, you know, Peter, when you were young, you did anything you wanted to do. You had the energy, you had the enthusiasm, you had the opportunity. You could put your shirt on and go out to work and go anywhere you wanted. But Peter, you know, when you're old, something's going to happen. Now, tradition tells us that when Peter came to the end of his life, he was actually crucified upside down. That's what a pretty well-founded tradition tells us. Peter paid a tremendous price for following Jesus. The thing to recognize is that Peter obeyed the Lord. Think of all the things that Peter did. Think of what happened on the day of Pentecost. All those people were standing around in Jerusalem, and here's Peter. And I'm sure many of them knew, hey, there's the guy who failed his master. But Peter stands up bravely and proclaims the gospel to all those folk who were gathered. Not only that, but he was concerned as a shepherd, and he cared for the Lord's people. You can read the stories in the early chapters of the book of Acts, how he helped people who were lame and who were sick, and on one occasion, he was even present when a person was raised from the dead. He really obeyed the Lord. He did what the Lord asked him to do. What else did he do? Well, he wrote these letters. We have some of his letters in the New Testament. You remember, there's the first and second epistles of Peter. And in the last chapter of his first epistle, chapter 5, 1 Peter, he says, you know, I was an eyewitness of the suffering of Jesus. Now, I know that the Bible tells us that they all forsook Jesus and fled, but they must have come back. John, we know, was certainly there at the cross, and Peter must have been standing on the edge watching. He says, I was an eyewitness of the suffering of Jesus. And I am an elder, an overseer. I've been called to shepherd the Lord's people, to help them. And I want to say to you shepherds, he says, you under-shepherds, you elders, that you have a responsibility. Don't serve the Lord just because it's kind of a duty. Don't do it so that you're going to get money out of it. But do it because you love the Lord and you love his people. So you see, he obeyed Jesus. He fulfilled his commission, if you will. He not only preached, but he got himself involved in pastoral care, looking after the sheep. He even wrote down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what became a part of the Word of God. He obeyed the call. That's the important thing. Not only to hear God's call, but to obey, to get involved. And that's what happened in Peter's case. And as Peter, you remember, was in prison one day, in Acts chapter 12, you'll read the story. Here he is in chains, surrounded by guards in the inner prison. And he's asleep. Can you imagine, under those circumstances, knowing, by the way, that his friend James had been beheaded. And yet here he is asleep. Why was he able to sleep so peacefully? Of course, the angel came and delivered him. You know the story. But I think it was because he remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. When you are old. And he could say, well, I'm in prison, sure. But I'm not old yet. And so he could relax and trust the Lord. Believe his word. And he was able to sleep, though in chains and in prison and surrounded by soldiers. So Peter believe the word of God. He accepted the task the Lord had given him to do. And finally, of course, he paid the price. You know, there really is a cost to discipleship. Sometimes we sort of paint the picture of becoming a Christian as though everything is going to be wonderful once you become a Christian. You'll just sort of sail through life and everything will go your way. I was actually talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he was sort of telling me that everything in his life, all he had to do was just pray and God put it right. Doesn't always work that way. I tried to explain to him, you know, sometimes you may pray, you may have a problem, but God doesn't answer it in the way you think he should. Maybe he has something better. Sometimes we don't even know why he doesn't answer us as we think he should. But that's the occasion when we trust him. Can you imagine Peter being led forth one day to be crucified? He'd seen the Lord die. And the story goes that he felt so ashamed of what he'd done that he asked them to crucify him upside down. Now, we can't verify those things, but these are some of the old stories that come from the early fathers of the church. There is a cost to discipleship. Now, we may not be called, of course, to such an extreme circumstance. We may not die for the Lord. We may not be persecuted, as many of our brothers and sisters are being persecuted today in some parts of the world. But are we willing to follow the Lord Jesus, even if it does cost us something? Remember what Jesus' question really was. Do you love me more than these? Some people say that means more than the fish. I don't think so. I don't think Peter loved fish very much. But there was an occasion, you remember, when he said, well, if everybody else forsakes you, I won't. I'll be loyal to the end. I'll die for you, Jesus. Jesus says, now, wait a minute, Peter. Are you still prepared to boast about that? Do you still love me more than these, your brothers and sisters? But that's a challenge to me today, because it says, what are my priorities as a follower of Jesus? Are there other things that mean more to me than he does? Am I more concerned, say, about my sort of good name, or what people think about me, my friendships, even my family? All those other things, I mean, do those come before my commitment to the Lord Jesus? Do I love him more than anything else, in fact? Is he really the Lord of my life, the one who is in charge? Am I prepared to make the sort of commitment that the Lord was asking Peter to make? Do you love me more than these? Back in Luke chapter 9, the end of the chapter, we read of several people who came to Jesus, volunteering to be his disciples. One of them came and he said, Lord, I'd like to follow you. I'd like to be one of your group. Jesus said, well, just think about this. The Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. I don't have anything that is so important to other people in this world. Are you prepared really to follow me? Another one came along and he said, Lord, I'll follow you. Jesus said, well, wait a minute. Are you really meaning that? Well, he said, let me first of all go home and say goodbye to my family, and then I'll come and follow you. Now, I'm sure Jesus wasn't saying that family isn't important. What he is saying, even your family may become a problem. Even your family may be a hindrance between you and me. We may put other people before the Lord. He knew that if he'd gone home to talk to his family, he probably never would have come back. The other chap came along and he said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first of all, I've got to go and bury my dad. Well, that's nonsense, because of course, if his dad had been buried, he wouldn't have been allowed out of the house anyway. But there is a price to be paid. If you're going to follow me, you must say no to self. Take up your cross daily and follow me, says Jesus. There is a cost. There's a price to pay. Are we willing to pay it? Peter, do you love me more than everything else? Well, he speaks to you, me and to you today. And he says, are you really prepared to put me first in your life? As we were breaking bread this morning, we heard scripture read from Colossians. And it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, isn't it? That Jesus may have the first place in everything. Boy, that's a challenge. The first place in everything? I remember one day over at Lambrick Park Church. It was a Sunday morning service, and I'm not sure what the message was all about, but I'm sure I'd been preaching the gospel. And there was a lady who had come to the church many, many Sunday mornings. She wasn't a believer, but very well-known, wealthy lady. She used to sit in the back seat, back row. Usually, before I could get to the door to shake hands, she was gone. This morning, I managed to get to the door first. And as she came by, I shook her hand, called her by her name. And she said, "John, the price is too high to pay." And she left and never came back again. Now, you can do that. I mean, you can walk away and you can say, "Lord, the price is too high. The cost is too much." Or you can say, "Lord, here I am. I'm willing to be available to do the job you want me to do. I can't do it in my own strength, but I know with your strength I can. And I'm willing to be your disciple. I'm willing to accept your challenge, to hear your call, and I'm prepared to pay the cost, to say no to self and yes to Jesus." What did Jesus mean? "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Well, if you'd been in Palestine in the time when Jesus lived there, and you saw a man carrying a cross, you would know that he wasn't sort of making some statement about his commitment. He was on his way to die. Jesus says, we need to understand that when he died on the cross at Calvary, from God's point of view, we died with him. And the life we live today is lived in the power of the life of Jesus. We were hearing about the power of the Lord this morning. And there's a little verse in Philippians where Paul prays and he says, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." That's what we really need as Christians, isn't it? To know the power of the life of the risen Lord motivating us as we seek to serve him. It's not an easy path to be a Christian. It's a challenge. There are always temptations and alternatives and substitutes and other things that want to take us and sort of obsess us. But we're called to be followers of Jesus. Peter was willing to do that. And though we may sometimes criticize him for denying Jesus, remember this: he was prepared to die for Jesus. He was prepared to serve Jesus. He was prepared to make his life count for the Lord who had died for him. Am I willing to do that? Do I really, really love the Lord? Well, I have to answer that question for me, as you do for you. May the Lord give us grace this morning, first of all, to know him, to trust in him, to believe that he died on the cross to save us, and then to make a commitment to follow him. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but as we pray, let each of us look into our hearts and say, "Yes, Lord, I do love you more than these." Let's pray. O Lord, you who search the heart and know our motives, know our desires, will you just help us in this moment as we are in the light of your word to say to you from our heart. Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. We pray that our priorities may be straight, that we may put first things first, that we may just tear away from the throne of our life anything that is occupying the place that belongs to you. May we honestly love the Lord and live for his glory and seek to be a blessing in the lives of other people. So we just thank you that we can be together, that we can read your word, that we can encourage each other in this fellowship. And we pray that your name will be honored in this place, and that the very glory of God may shine upon us. And we give thanks in your name. Amen.